We are going to have Caleb first, and then Zerubbabel. And just let me just briefly pray for these boys, if you would bow your heads again. Heavenly Father, these young men they love you, and they want to do what's good and right and acceptable in your sight. We ask that you'll give them peace in their hearts, that they be not afraid of the task ahead of them, and that you would open their little understandings in their minds and their mouths, that they might glorify you with what they have to say, and maybe be receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Caleb and then Zerubbabel.
You would think the second time you do something, you wouldn't be as nervous. Okay, I'm here to talk with you about the parent-child relationship and how important it is for parents to do a good job of parenting their children, of course. Because if the parents didn't do their job right and they just let their kid do whatever they wanted to, then we'd be in a terrible world right now. There would be crimes and bad stuff everywhere, and you know, that's kind of a given, but we already have a lot of that stuff because parents are starting to slip, right? Which brings me to discipline, a key factor in parenting, because discipline is what lets the child know that what they're doing is wrong. I know we have some of that every week in Sabbath school. And parents, if they don't discipline their child and they don't go to church and they don't do all the right things they should be doing, if they don't study for school and do all the right things, then they're just going to end up being a terrible person. And another key factor of parenting is teaching your child to love God. Because if they don't love God, then they're just going to stay down here with everyone else instead of going up with you to heaven. And I just think that'd be something really sad to see if you're going up to heaven and your child is just staying down with the wicked people. I think that'd be a terrible sight to see, which is why what I've been repeating several times is parents need to discipline their children. And God is sort of like, well, he is our father and he's our parent. And he wants to see us do good things, even though we don't do all the right things all the time. So sometimes he will, you know, discipline us. We do see things that God is doing all around us. Whether it's a discipline, you know, to let us know that what we're doing is wrong, or whether it's a reward, which sometimes could be a miracle. Which brings me to Adam and Eve. Remember, they were in the Garden of Eden, and they were having a good time, and God said that they weren't supposed to have that forbidden fruit from that one tree. If they could just, they could eat anything else, have anything else to themselves, except for that one tree. Well, Eve one day was picking fruits or whatever she was doing over by that tree. She was ignoring it. She didn't think of anything of it. You know, she was doing the right thing. But then she sees something at the corner of her eye. And that was the serpent, Satan. And then he says, come over here. I won't bite. Come over here. And then she says, okay, who are you? You know? And he says, well, why don't you try a little bit of this fruit? And she says, no, no, God said we weren't supposed to have that. But then he says, well, God says a lot of things. You know, you could just have a bite. A bite wouldn't hurt. Nothing will happen. takes one of the pears or apples or whatever the fruit it was, gives it to her. She's kind of skeptical, of course, but then she takes a bite. She thinks it's delicious. She wants another bite. She bites again. And then Satan says, "See, nothing happened." So then, of course, she's going to run and tell Adam about it. And he's going to say, "Well, what are you doing with that fruit? God said we weren't supposed to have it." And she says, "No, it's fine. You can have it. Seriously, God won't do anything." So then he takes a bite and he says, "Well, you're right." You know what happened? God was watching them. And he sent them out of the Garden of Eden as discipline. Right? And then, you know, he made Satan, the serpent, all its legs cut off and had to slither on its belly. So he disciplined them all. And I would like to think that from then on, they would try their best not to do anything sinful, because they knew what happened at the Garden of Eden, that God sent them out. So I'd like to take a scripture from Mark 13:12. It says, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm till the end will be saved." Listen to that last sentence. "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." So that means you need to cheat. If you teach your children to love God, and they can do anything, I guarantee you a child will rebel against their parent, no matter what. It says it in the Bible right here. They will do that, and they will do a lot of bad things, but then if they love God and they have him in their hearts, they will go to heaven. And I'd hate to see someone end up like one of those people who are just doing bad things. And how many times have you heard this phrase at the beginning of a sentence? "Scientists are now saying." You hear that all the time. "Scientists are now saying this. Scientists are now saying that." And I think that what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out things for themselves. Instead of just reading the Bible, it tells you everything you need to know. But they say, no, I don't want to believe that. They think that they can tell everyone else what is the truth. And they're convincing a lot of people. Yeah. And what they're doing is they're trying to figure out things for themselves instead of waiting to go to heaven and find out for themselves. I like to think that when we get to heaven, we can ask God any question we want and he would answer it. So I don't really see the point of trying to figure out everything now if we can just read this, know what we need to know, go to heaven, and then ask him whatever we were curious about. That's what I see. Turn to Revelation 21:4. Very quickly. It says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, you all remember when you were a child back in ancient times. And sometimes your parent would give you a timeout, right? Or whatever you did for discipline back then. Okay? At the end it says, they will be thrown into a fiery lake of burning sulfur. That's no ordinary timeout. If you don't love God, and you just don't care for any of that, you will be thrown into a lake of burning sulfur. That's just got to be terrible. And at the beginning it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what will happen if you do love God and you do have him in your heart and you do go to heaven. There will be no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering. Everything will be happy, and if you don't, then you'll just go down with all the wicked people. And again, God is our Father. He is our parent, and he wants to see us do good things. He wants to see us do good things, even though he knows we're not going to all the time. But he wants to see us do our best. You ever hear that expression, of course, what would Jesus do? That's what you're supposed to think of. You're supposed to think, what would Jesus do? And then do the best in your ability to do it. That's what he wants to see. And if you do something wrong, then all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. That's all there is to it. That's all there is. And you can... Now, don't take that for granted, though. Don't think that you can do everything you want to do, go and sin and murder and cheat and steal, and then just say, oh God, I'm sorry. You have to mean it. You have to do your best to do good things. And then, if you do slip up every now and then, you can ask for forgiveness and he will forgive you. It also says in here, I'm going to bring this up again, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. The lie is probably one of the most common sins we have around today. And I think that those scientists that I was talking about earlier are just telling a lie so much that they start to believe it themselves. And if they keep this up and they don't read the Bible and they don't have God in their hearts, then again, they'll be thrown into a lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So I think that we should all do our best and to be true to God and to do good in no matter what we do. And I know my mom tells this to me every morning, do your best and let God do the rest. So remember that. Do your best and let God do the rest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sabbath day. Please help us to have a good rest of the day. And thank you for letting us teach the word today. And please be with Zorobabel as he comes up next to preach with the church. And please come get us soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Caleb. Caleb, you're how old?
13.
And Zorobabel, how old are you?
8
years old. And we are just trusting that God's going to touch you. God bless you.
I invite you to open the Bible in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Joel, chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go for his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the minister of the Lord, weep between the porch of the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen shall rule over them. Wherefore shall they say among the people, Where is your God? Let's invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this day. Give us a double portion of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of Numbers, we found that God told Moses to make two trumpets, one for the calling of the assembly and another for the journeying of the camps. The priests had the responsibility to blow the trumpets because they were the leaders of Israel, and Aaron's sons were in charge of this duty. As we know, in David's time, trumpets were used to praise Jehovah, especially when Solomon's temple was built. Another important use of the trumpet was in war times, and one of the many occasions in the war when the trumpets were blown was when they saw danger approaching. The trumpet had to be blown to warn the people to get ready. They used to have a watchman to warn over them, and whenever he saw danger, he sounded the trumpet for the people to get ready. But if the watchman didn't watch, he couldn't make a clear sound of the trumpet. Or he didn't sound it at all, then he and his people perish. Brothers and sisters, we are in war, spiritual war, since Lucifer rebelled in heaven. And through this war, God always have had watchmen to warn us about danger. The Bible tells us of the great men of faith like Abel, Enoch, Noah, and the patriarchs. Later on, when God organized the people of Israel, he took the priest as watchman for his people. The Bible also tells us there were times when the priests were corrupted, and when the kings ruled Israel, the majority of them did bad unto the sight of the Lord. Thus, when the priests, elders, and kings were in apostasy, the children of Israel were in apostasy as well. Where were the sentinels that God had sent to warn his people? They were asleep spiritually, but God did not abandon his people. Instead, he had mercy and sent individuals as watchmen. And I said individuals because the priests were spiritually watchmen for the nation of Israel. But they were not doing according to God's will. And as we know, apostasy came in, and the children of Israel as a nation were not ready to receive the Messiah. And as I mentioned before, God had to raise individuals to warn the leaders and the people to return from apostasy. One of those individuals was Ezekiel, as we can see in Ezekiel 3:17. Let's look for Ezekiel 3:17. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. What a great responsibility, don't you think so? Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel, this time in chapter 33:1-9, and the first one I to find it, please read it aloud. Ezekiel chapter 33:1-9. And the first one I took. The prophet of the Lord tells us the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, it is an outline of the work that God approves. Those in positions of sacred trust, those honor of God by being appointed to stand as watchmen on the wall of Zion are in every respect to be all that is embraced in the meaning of the word watchman. They are to be ever on guard against the dangers threatening the spiritual life and health and prosperity on God's heritage. Upon us as ministries, God had placed a burden of solemn responsibility. When we see God dishonor out, not remain quiet, but shall do and say all that we can to lead others to see that the God of heaven is not to be thought as a common man, but as the infinity one, the one worthy of man's highest reverence. Let us present God's word in its purity, and lift up the voice in warning against everything that will dishonor our Heavenly Father, Manuscript 165. What a great responsibility our ministers have. What happens if they don't give a clear sound of the trumpet? I read from Spirit of Prophecy, letter 162. The 33rd chapter of Ezekiel shows that God's government is a government of personal responsibility. Each one must stand for himself. No one can obey for his neighbor. No one is accused for neglecting his duty because of his mere neglect on the part of his neighbor. Brothers and sisters, at this hour, God is preparing individuals to bring the final message to the entire world, as he mentioned in Matthew chapter 28. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something that it might shock you, but this is what the Word of God teaches. It is very important to understand that God is preparing individuals and not an organization to preach the final message to the world. Many had believed that God's final message is going to be proclaimed through the Seventh-day Adventist organization, as we know it, and through its channels or ways to preach the gospel as is today. For example, through 3ABM, Hope Channel, evangelistic meetings, sending pastors to different countries, etc. But the Word of God teaches us different than how we have been told. I read from Acts of the Apostles, page 14 and 20. God chose Israel to reveal his character to men. He desired them to be as well of salvation in the world to them who are committing the oracles of heaven, the revelation of God's will. But the people of Israel lost sight of their high privileges as God's representatives. They forgot God and failed to fulfill their holy mission. The blessing they received brought no blessing to the world. Priests and rulers became fixed in a rut of ceremonialism. They were satisfied with the legal religion, and it was impossible for them to give to others the living truth of heaven. Then, for the carrying on of his work, Christ did not choose the learning or eloquence of Jewish Sanhedrin or the power of Rome, piecing by self-righteous Jewish teachers. The master worker chose humble and learned men to proclaim the truth that were to move the world. This man he purposed to train and educate as the leaders of his church. They in turn were to educate others and send them out with the gospel message that they might have success in their work. They were to be given the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by human might or human wisdom was the gospel to be proclaimed, but by the power of God. Brothers and sisters, history repeats itself. This time, God is not preparing 12, but 144,000 Seventh-day Adventists are going to give the third angel message with the power of the fourth angel that will lighten the whole earth with his glory. And as a result, it will bring the second coming of Jesus. Now, the question is, are we preparing ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit and to be part of the 144,000? As you can see, brothers and sisters, we often have been told that we cannot prepare ourselves because we haven't been told that we cannot stop sinning. But the Bible and the spirit of prophecy tells us the contrary. The Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needs to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the spirit of prophecy said, "I was shown if God's people make no efforts on their part, but wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and remove their wrongs and correct their errors, if they depend upon that to cleanse them from filthiness of the flesh, and the Spirit fit them to engage in the loud cry of the third angel, they will be found wanting." Last Day Events, page 195. The question is, are we examining ourselves to be shown approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? The Father does not approve anything but the character of God, of Christ, reflected in our lives. Let's go back to the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Can someone read it, please? Joel chapter 2, verse 15 to 17.
"Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of the closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, and the heathen should rule over them. Where therefore should they say among the people, where is their God?"
Now is the time to blow the trumpet. Now is the time to confess. Now is the time to call sin by its name. Now is the time to put our house in order. Now is the time to seek the Lord. God is about to judge and seal his people and destroy the sinner of Jerusalem. We are Jerusalem, and let's remember that history repeats. And in the book of Ezekiel, God is showing us very clear what is about to take place. Let's go to Ezekiel 9:1-6. Can someone read it, please?
"Also, mine ear a loud voice, saying, call him that have
out here. Even every man with his drawing weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man a sword weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with withers, inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the withers, inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sight and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said, in vain in my spirit, go ye after him to the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house.
Have you noticed that those who receive the seal or the Holy Spirit are those who sigh and cry for the sins committed among God's people? Just like in the book of Joel? Have you noticed that when God is bringing destruction, he sends his watchmen to sound the trumpet to prepare his people and not to perish? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is about to come. Probation is about to close on God's people, and from now on, we will hear watchmen with a message of warning, preparing us to meet our God. Wherefore, he said, awake, do the sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians 5:14. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the father to the children, and the heart of the children to the father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:5-6. Thus, brothers and sisters, when we hear someone preach something that we aren't accustomed to hear, when someone stands up and calls sin by its name, God tells us not to close our ears, neither our eyes, because this was what Israel did to the prophets, and they perish. It says in the book of Hosea 4:6, brothers and sisters, many of our people and even our leaders will reject the message of warning, because they will say that these are not God's message, because they will not be according to their ideas and that they study in through the years in the universities. The spirit of prophecy said, those who refuse to receive reproof and to be correct will manifest enmity, malice, and hatred against the instrument that God has used. They will leave no means untried to cast estima upon the one who bore to them the message. They will feel as did Ahab toward Elijah, that God's servant is the one who is the hindrance, the curse. Said Ahab, art thou he that troubleth Israel? The Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, January 8, 1884. Even being accused like Elijah was accused. The sentinel that God is raising today will give a clear sound of the trumpet to his people, just like in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, that Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long shall ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And all the people answered him not a word. Brothers and sisters, God still asking us today, how long shall ye between two opinions? Amen.
Are you done?
Yes.
Now that is 8 years old. And you know, just to stand there all that time and stick to subject is an amazing thing. Isn't that amazing? Did you get the message?
Yes.
I did too. Wonderful, wonderful. We're going to sing right now. What's that? Now, Pastor, you want to say something first?
I was asked to say something.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm so short, I can get to stand up here also. Man, I just love it when our young people take an interest. But it just boggles my mind that someone 8 years old could stand and present a message like Zerubbabel has just presented to us. Amen. Folks, surely Jesus is coming soon, and we as a people, I know we talk about the priesthood and we put great emphasis on leadership. But in every sense of the word, you are called to be priests. You are a holy nation. We have been called to give a message. We are to sound a trumpet. We are to give it a certain sound, and it must be in harmony with what's written in God's word. We have opportunity to do that for our neighbors and the communities in which we live. We have Matt and Justin is going to be beginning our evangelistic series this week, and they're going to be giving that trumpet a certain sound. We will talk about the state of the dead. We'll talk about the judgment. We'll talk about the resurrection and the Sabbath. These are issues that people around us know nothing about, or they have some false understanding of it. By God's grace, we have been given this opportunity to proclaim this message, to give that trumpet a certain sound. And as Zerubbabel and both Caleb, you know, the responsibility that we have as parents to train our boys and girls, and we too as parents, if we are not doing that as right, there's going to be a judgment. And folks, there's a consequence. Like he said, there's a time out. And the lake of fire is not a place to be when that, you know, or for that time out to where you should be. As the Holy Spirit moves upon our hearts, may we have the courage, like Zerubbabel and Caleb, to stand before the people and let them know that Jesus is coming again, and we have been given an opportunity. They have been given an opportunity to air this most wonderful truth. Pray for this series of meetings. Pray for our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, you did great.